Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Welcome in to another week here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Great to have you with us here on this Monday. It is nasty and gray and pouring rain, but we've got a lot of good stuff to talk about here over the next hour. If you're new to this, we do it every weekday, 11 a.m., complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. July 1st evaluation window came to a close Sunday evening at 5 o'clock. So much to talk about with the IU targets and prospects that the IU coaches were very, very busy watching over the last few days. We'll talk about that. The next window starts here in just a couple days. Wednesday evening is the start of the second of three evaluation windows for Division I coaches. We'll talk about where some of the big events are. A little more spread out in the second window than what it was in the first window. We'll talk about that, where the IU coaches might be, where some of the major targets of Indiana may be as well. We'll do that today and really every day throughout the week as we track what's going on with recruiting almost every day this time of year. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany once we go through some news and headlines of the day here in the first segment. With me in segment number two today will be IU Insider with the Indianapolis Star, Zach Osterman. He will join us to talk some IU basketball. We'll recap things from the first evaluation window, talk a little Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks. Their team did not have a good peach jam. They went 2-3 in pool play, but Trace Jackson Davis had a pretty good weekend. And in the final pool game, he had 10 dunks in the game, 10 dunks. Somebody had a nice video highlight of all 10 of those dunks back to back to back. That was really cool. But he played well. He continued to get a lot of looks from those schools, recruiting him very seriously. Of course, Indiana right in the mix for him, as expected. We'll talk about that with Zach and more when he joins us today. Also, the Romeo Court, I'm going to talk about that some here in the headlines. It opened on Saturday. Romeo got a free day. He was able to leave Indiana on Friday night, had to return on Sunday, meaning he could spend all day Saturday at all the festivities to open that new court at Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park. We'll talk about that with Zach as well. Later in the program, Chad Gilbert joins me. Chad is always with me on Mondays. Chad is the Charlestown Athletic Director. He's an IHSA executive board member and abreast of everything with Southern Indiana sports. We talk through a lot of local sports headlines with Chad when he joins us, and nothing will change with that today. We'll do the same thing when he's with me later in the program here on this Monday edition of the program. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Big day on Saturday, all day on Saturday in New Albany at Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park. It's located right behind Northside Christian Church in New Albany. One piece of Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park is Romeo Langford Basketball Court, and that court was officially opened at 10 a.m. on Saturday with a ceremony that opened the entire park. The Little League facility obviously has been open since back in the spring. Everything else has been still under construction. A lot of it was under construction until even midweek, late in the week, last week. But the full park is now open. A lot of different things will happen out there over the next couple of months. But to kick off Romeo Court, first off, if you haven't rode by or didn't go to the, and there was a good crowd. People didn't stay long on Saturday. It was so darn hot. But there was a great crowd throughout the day on Romeo Court to see Romeo, obviously to watch some of the action on the court. But if you haven't seen it, the best way to describe it is it's a first-class outdoor basketball court. There's no black asphalt or anything like that. There is an asphalt base, but there's some smooth, I would call it tennis court-like coatings that gives it a little bounce. It's smooth if you were to fall down during a game or if you're out there playing. It probably won't get scraped up as bad as you would maybe on an old pavement court. But very nice court. The goals are fantastic. The outdoor goals are probably as nice or nicer than some of the goals in high school gyms in the area, to be quite honest with you. They are almost indestructible and can withstand a lot of wear and tear. So very nice situation. Romeo's signature is on the court, and the games started, or I should say the court started, with three games on Saturday. There were two elementary scrimmage games. They were rematches of the 2017-18 season. Floyd's Knobs beat Greenville on Saturday in the girls' scrimmage. Floyd's Knobs was the champion of the Floyd County Elementary Basketball League back in February. Same on the boys' side. Grantline, they won their game over Mount Tabor, which is the school that Romeo attended for elementary school. Grantline was the champion back in February. They won the scrimmage on Saturday as well. The day ended with the New Albany versus Floyd Central alumni scrimmage for graduates of both programs from the 2010 through 2017 classes. And as you would expect, when those two rivals hook up, it was a really competitive and a really, really good game as well. It was back and forth for much of the game. Floyd Central got out to an early lead. New Albany took a lead to start the second half, and it was back and forth and back and forth from that point forward. Dustin Cochran, a graduate of the 2014 class for New Albany, he hit about a 10-foot jump shot with 2 seconds left to help the New Albany alumni team defeat Floyd Central. Michael Maxwell was a member of the state championship team in 2016. He led the team with 10 points. Trevor Apple, a recent graduate of Floyd Central, the big man, graduated in 2017. He had 9 points to lead Floyd Central, but a very, very good day, a very good game. And Romeo and his family were there from start to finish. They got there just after the tip-off of the elementary girls game, stayed throughout the day. Romeo and his dad, great to see them get out on the court during a break. They played a little horse, and Romeo got some shots up. Just a relaxed day, some good action. Kids all had commemorative shirts on that Romeo signed after the game. So just a very cool setting and cool for him and his family to hang out. It was definitely a great way to open up one of the nicest outdoor courts that I've seen, and I'm sure a lot of activities out there will continue. That thing is very, very nice for an outdoor court. Keep in mind that Floyd County Parks is going to also redo another court next spring in 2019 at a to-be-determined county park that will be in honor of Floyd Central legend, 1989 Mr. Basketball Pat Graham, who is a guest from time to time on this show. That project for the Pat Graham Court will be coinciding with the 30th anniversary of Pat being named Indiana Mr. Basketball. So cool stuff there, no question about it. A couple other headlines coming out of the recruiting period. I mentioned Trace Jackson Davis. He averaged at the Peach Jam, which is the EYBL Finals, 11.6 points, 9.2 rebounds, 1.8 blocks, 1.2 assists. They played 5 games. He shot 40.3% from the field, just 29.6% on free throws, 8 of 27, probably the bad stat on his record over the weekend. His team was 2-3. They did not get out of pool play and get a chance to compete for a Peach Jam championship in the single elimination tournament. He did, however, in the final game, 24 points, 18 rebounds, and he was going up against a player from Florida named Vernon Carey Jr., who is very, very well regarded also in the 2019 class. So he finished big, and including that was the game he had the 10 dunks within the same game. So he finished big in front of a lot of college coaches. Obviously, Archie Miller and the IU assistant coaches were front and center for many, many of the Indy Heat games to watch Trace and his teammates, including Keon Brooks. Keon averaged 13 points per game playing alongside of Trace Jackson Davis, 5.5 rebounds, two assists in the games that he played. He shot only 28.9%, but he was able to get to the free throw line 38 times over the weekend, and of those 38 times, he hit 29 of his free throws, shot 76%+ from the free throw line. Did struggle with his shooting, but again, an excellent job getting to the foul line and then converting when he got to the foul line as well. A couple other people from an IU perspective, other targets, players, I should say, that got off to a good start in July as far as the recruiting period goes. Matthew Hurt, he's from up in Minnesota. He plays on the Adidas circuit. He averaged 20.5 points, 6 rebounds, 2.6 in 5 games that he played. He shot 60% from the field and was 13 of 16 from the free throw line. He is a player that is nationally very, very well known, highly ranked, and someone that Indiana is counting on the connections back to the Minnesota State with Tom Ostrom on staff to be a key recruiter there. He had all kinds of head coaches watching him over the weekend. Other players, Brandon Newman, who is from Valparaiso, Indiana offered a scholarship to back in the month of June, late June to be in fact, to be detailed there. He is, of course, going to play at Montverde down in Florida next year for his senior season. He's playing with Mean Streets out of Chicago down at the Peach Jam. He averaged 14.6 points per game, shot 46.5% from the field, 38.2% from threes, 12 of 14 from the free throw line. He scored 50 points over his final two Peach Jam games, including 29 points against the Players Club on Friday. And again, it's a shame he will not finish his high school career in the Hoosier State, leaving for a elite high school situation. But he's a good player. He's the guy I kind of tabbed before the month started as someone who would add a lot of scholarship offers. I saw that in addition to what he already had, I know he's picked up at least one more. I think it was Virginia Tech that offered him smack dab in the middle of the Peach Jam. So his offers, I think, will continue to increase this month. And who knows, now that he's going to a different high school situation for next year, he'll be seen more often. Perhaps he'll be seen by schools from a different part of the country. He may add a whole bunch more on. His recruiting could definitely take some big changes here over the next 2 or 3 months, especially once we get back to the high school basketball season as well. Isaiah Stewart, playing for the City Rocks up in Albany. They were at the Peach Jam. He averaged 19 points a game. He's a top 10 recruit nationally. He will play high school basketball at LaPorte La Lemire, so he'll be much closer than Albany, New York, to the IU coaches. Definitely someone that they're tracking. He said that IU was in his top 10 before the Peach Jam started. So just a highlight of a number of players. Armand Franklin, I want to mention him as well, from Cathedral. He had a good Peach Jam playing with the Chicago Mean Streets team. Averaged 14 points a game. Again, a lot of scholarship offers for him. Indiana jumped on him back in June as well. So he's someone else to watch and see how he progresses over the month of July. Former Hoosier news, Yogi Ferrell entering his third NBA season. Reports out from the Dallas Morning News on Friday, late Friday night, that the Mavericks rescinded the qualifying offer for him worth $2.9 million for next season. And they did that probably to help their salary cap room momentarily, but they've got the intent of reaching a multi-year deal for Yogi Ferrell. That's big stuff for him. He played 82 games last season for Dallas. He averaged 10.2 points, 3 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and 27.8 minutes per game for Dallas. He was obviously undrafted after his senior year at Indiana, but getting a multi-year deal with Dallas, that's what he was on tap for. That is big stuff for Yogi Ferrell to continue his NBA career. Final headline of the day, DJ Carton. He is probably the recruit that we have talked about the most over the last couple of weeks. He took an official visit to Michigan, followed by an official visit to Indiana, and then he took an official visit to Ohio State. Kind of an odd period, odd time to do so. He did last Wednesday, which is when the evaluation period started. We mentioned last week that Chris Holtmann wasn't even on campus for a good portion of his final day at Ohio State. We may understand a little bit more why he wasn't. He must have had a pretty good feel that Carton was going to commit to Ohio State. That's what he did over the weekend. Carton is now off the board. Someone that Indiana seemed to get involved with, and that involvement really sped up. And as the involvement sped up for Indiana, it sure seemed like the want to get his recruitment over with from Carton and his family sped up as well. A lot of people thought Michigan was the front runner. There were others that thought Indiana might be the sleeper of the three teams that could nab him. I don't know that many people predicted Ohio State, to be quite honest with you, but that's what happens. Chris Holtmann lands DJ Cartman in the Carton in the 2019 class. I've said this multiple times on this program. I have absolutely zero thought that this will not happen. Tons of battles between Archie Miller and Chris Holtmann, not just on the floor at the top of the Big Ten Conference standings, but I think they will battle all the time for recruits from Indiana, from recruits from Ohio, from recruits from the Midwest like Carton being out in Iowa. I don't think there's any question that both of those guys have their programs going in the right direction. Chris Holtmann kind of got jump-started last year, getting Ohio State in a very good place in a year that they maybe weren't expected to do so. But he got them rolling early. Archie Miller seems to have things going well in Bloomington. Those two guys, I think, will be the future of the Big Ten Conference as far as the next level of great coaches. And I don't think there's any question about it that they are going to battle and battle and battle for a lot of the top players coming out of the Midwest. That's a look at the headlines for this Monday edition of the program. The headlines are presented each day by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. I also want to send a shout-out to some Little League baseball winners. We were at the ballpark almost every night last week, and on Friday, a number of teams won District 5 in their respective age groups and will now go on to the state tournaments. And the 12-year-old, that's the major baseball division, the division that goes on all the way to Williamsport, Pennsylvania, if you keep winning, and will play on ESPN New Albany. Beat Jeff GRC in a classic game, a very, very good game on Friday night. I think there were 600-700 people there to watch a Little League Baseball championship game on Friday. Once the sun went down, it was very nice, very comfortable. We enjoyed being there for the call, and we wish New Albany the very best at the state tournament that begins next week up in Indianapolis. Also, the 11-year-old division of Little League Baseball, New Albany won that. They crushed HYR, Highlander Youth Recreation, in that championship game. Same result in the 10-year-old division. They'll play in Fort Wayne later this week with their state tournament starting. The 10-year-old New Albany team was a big winner over HYR as well in that championship game. Some other winners in softball, Floyd's Knobs won the 11-year-old championship on Friday, the 10-year-old championship on Friday, and Floyd's Knobs also won the major division. We carried that game a few weeks ago here on the Big X. But always fun to see these little leaguers get the opportunity to move on and play for a state championship for their age group, representing their community. It's kind of like an early start to high school sports. They get a chance to be part of their community. They get a chance to kind of gain some recognition in the community. And Little League Baseball and softball has a tremendous reputation from this part of the state. And there's no question that a lot of the teams I just mentioned as district winners will be favorites and have a chance to win their state championships. So we'll be expecting multiple state championships from all of those teams I just mentioned here over the next couple weeks as they compete in state tournaments around the state of Indiana. That's the headlines. That's the first segment. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more. Joining me in segment two, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. IU basketball will recap the first evaluation window, which IU coaches could be out on the road, and much more coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back to talk some IU basketball. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, my guest every Monday in this segment. And Zach, period one of three now complete for coaches to get on the road and recruit all of the targets that we talk about each day on this show. And the IU coaches were hot and heavy at a number of events over the weekend, but they spent a lot of concentrated effort on Trace Jackson Davis, Keon Brooks, the Indy Heat team, at the Nike Peach Jam down in Augusta.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to be a surprise to anybody. I think really maybe the most intrigue right now in the period becomes who they turn to with DJ Carton off the board. And, you know, it seemed it was one of those recruitments where kind of nobody knew what was going on until maybe right up until the final hours. It going into last week felt like an IU-Michigan battle. A lot of people thought Michigan had maybe a slight edge. Then he took the Ohio State visit, and that still seemed to be kind of quiet, sort of lesser, I guess you'd say. And then all of a sudden he was going to Ohio State. And so now obviously both IU and Michigan have to turn their attentions elsewhere. And there's going to be, look, Indiana's handed out other point guard and combo guard offers in 2019. I think they'll continue to evaluate other potential players. They might even look at whether or not they need a point guard if they can't get, you know, a guy who they're sure is an impact player at that position. There's maybe a little bit of a luxury at the guard spot in this class for Indiana. But it's no surprise to see them with Trace Jackson Davis, Keon Brooks. I'd also throw Isaiah Stewart in that mix as well. And it's just, again, I think for me, the biggest question is where they go with Carton off the board. You know, he was a top target. Do they basically just move on to their next two or three guard games, or would they consider maybe the possibility of just taking a guard out of the mix for now and going for, you know, two wings or even two bigs? Because if you're looking a lot at Isaiah Stewart and you're looking a lot at Trace Jackson Davis, you clearly admire both of those players.
Yeah, absolutely. Zach Ostrom, an Indianapolis Star, our guest. Back to Carton for 1 second. You look at some of the recruitments that go on, and there's all the predictions by the national guys now, the Rivals and the 24/7 Sports, etc. And a lot of times they are. The majority of them are pretty on spot, I would have to say. But this is a confusing recruitment because there was so much positive about Michigan, and I would say just not as much, but a lot of momentum, I thought, for Indiana. I would have bet for sure that he would attend one of those two schools. I didn't see the Ohio State thing coming. Of course, you never know what's going on behind the scenes. And I was really perplexed that Chris Holtmann wasn't even on campus for a great part of his official visit. I know he got back within the same day to go recruiting a little bit. But that with just the thought that Michigan and IU had a lot of momentum, I didn't see that coming. This is one that has really caught me off guard, and that happens from time to time in the recruiting stuff. You think you got a read on a kid, you think you're hearing good things from the right people, and then boom, it's something completely opposite. It wasn't Michigan and not Indiana. It was Ohio State and not Michigan or Indiana.
Yeah, and it's one of those where I think fans sometimes roll their eyes when, you know, you caveat so much in talking about recruiting and you say, well, you know, as much as we know now or you know, that sort of thing. I think fans tend to kind of look at that and think, oh, you're just hedging your bets. Look, the reality is in recruiting, things can change quickly. And things seem to change. And I don't mean this as negative in any way. I'm just sort of commenting on maybe how Carton, you know, could decide that it's actually Ohio State at the end. Things did seem to change in his recruitment, you know, a couple times. I think when Indiana first got involved, there was a feel that it was a Marquette-Wisconsin battle, that Iowa was involved pretty heavily, obviously, because Iowa City's just down the road. He basically lives in the Quad Cities area, for people who know, kind of that Iowa-Illinois border area. None of those three schools even made his final three, and I know that caused some consternation, especially in Iowa City. But it did seem that through the process of his recruitment that just the landscape changed a fair bit. A couple different times, and obviously, you know, to your point, it really did catch a lot of people off guard when he picked Ohio State. And I think word kind of seemed to get out that it might actually be headed that way, but really not until pretty close to the decision. You know, I was actually in Atlanta over the weekend visiting family, but even as late as, you know, Friday afternoon, Carton was, if I'm getting the commitment schedule right in my head, I believe he committed on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, either yes. That or Friday night. But even right before I left town, it was sort of like a 51-49 Michigan IU split. Nobody was quite sure where it was headed. Then all of a sudden, boom! Here come the Buckeyes, and Like I said, I think sometimes people can roll their eyes when reporters and recruiting writers say stuff like, well, you know, never take it for granted, or you just don't know, or, you know, things can always change. But the reality is that we say those things because things genuinely can always change, and sometimes do change.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, lots of IU basketball topics here on this Monday edition of the program. Let's close out the recruiting discussion today with your thoughts on the IU coaches. They spent a lot of time, as we've discussed, at the Peach Jam. In fact, at one time, I think every coach on staff was at the Peach Jam, and in a couple different cases, maybe watching the same prospects and the same games. That has to be a signal to those type of players, Trace and Keon and the Indy Heat guys and others that they watched as well, the Mean Streets team with a couple prospects. When you've got not just Archie Miller, but you've got Archie and one, two, or even three assistant coaches watching multiple games within the same weekend, if you didn't know for sure from communication and one-on-one talk that Indiana was really interested in you and really wanted you and really made you a priority in this class, that has to mean a lot, I would think, with all the different events out there, all the different opportunities to watch these guys that Indiana is interested in.
I think it certainly speaks, first of all, to just the talent level at Peach Jam, and I know that's not going to surprise many people, but, you know, I can remember times when it felt like talent was a little bit more spread out across, you know, various different events, and I can also remember times where maybe it did sort of feel like there were just one or two events, especially in July, I think, that had kind of all of the really big names and you know, the majority, the vast majority of your elite prospects. I've also said the whole way through on this, Indiana can afford to be a little bit more exclusive or a little bit more selective in this class. You know, obviously, Romeo Langford, we've talked about him ad nauseum. He was always going to be a top target as long as, you know, he was willing to consider Indiana in return in 2018. But beyond that, Indiana was losing five seniors off of Archie Miller's first team. They were going to need guys that, I mean, certainly I'm sure Archie Miller would have taken five-star signees. But I think in being realistic about drawing up your recruiting board, if you're Indiana, you needed guys that could come in and be foundational players. You needed guys who are going to buy into a long-term vision from Archie and his staff. And you look at a Rob Phinisee, a DeMaisy Anderson, Jerome Hunter, you know, those guys, Jake Forrester obviously being the other one, I think really fit that mold of being guys that'll come in, you know, they'll develop, they'll probably be in college at least 2 to 3 years, maybe a little bit longer, maybe even 4 years. You can afford to be a little bit more selective in this class, because right now you're probably only going to have three spots, and that's even assuming, and I think we probably can, that Romeo Langford is going to go pro. But even with that, if you've only got three spots, and Archie Miller has been pretty clear about the fact that he'll do it from time to time, but he doesn't love oversigning. He doesn't love having these massive classes coming in every single year. Then you can maybe afford to be a little bit more selective, not just with the targets that you prioritize, but how much time you allocate to watching them and saying, listen, you know, there's only 2-3 spots in this class, and we really want you to know that we really think you are perfect for one of those spots. I think Trace Jackson Davis is absolutely a guy like that. Again, I think Keon Brooks is a guy like that. And I think that at least right now, you know, I know there are fans that are probably, especially after the Carton commit, fretting a little bit about not having anybody in the fold. But right now, the reality is you're setting yourself up for the fall if you're Indiana. And if you can be more selective, then I don't think there's anything terribly wrong with, you know, maybe being more intensely focused on a smaller group of players. And then if those start to fall away, then maybe you have to expand that circle a little bit. But right now, I think Indiana can afford to keep it tight.
I'm joined by Zach Osterman, IU insider for the Indianapolis Star. Zach, just a couple other quick things I want to get to. I was talking about this with someone on Saturday. There was the unveiling of Romeo Langford Court, an outdoor court at a new park down here in Floyd County. It was well attended throughout the day despite all the heat. There were a number of different basketball games, starting with some elementary scrimmages going to a New Albany Floyd Central alumni game. Romeo was there the entire day with his family. He didn't speak to the media or anything. I'm not even sure he's allowed to, but he did tell me he got home Friday night and had to be back on campus, I forget what time, sometime on Sunday. He also got to leave to go to a grand marshal, and we hear Baby Osterman in the background.
Yeah,
who by the way, I saw.
By the way,
very cute. I saw a picture of him somewhere on, I think, a grocery cart the other day. You've got a cute one, Zach. No question about that. But how rare Romeo left to go to the regatta parade. He was the grand marshal of that. How rare is it for incoming freshmen of all to get this type of I guess people down here in New Albany and Jeff and so forth are not surprised at all, but do you think maybe that others IU fans or even the IU players think, what in the world, a freshman being asked to have a court in his name and being asked to be grand marshal of a parade? I can't ever remember in college basketball, and I'm sure there have been some examples in other places we just don't read or see about, but I can't ever remember anything like this.
Like you said, I think, first of all, it's not a surprise to anybody down there. And while, you know, maybe Romeo Langford's a little bit of an extreme example of just kind of how deep the broader idea of Indiana basketball, the cultural phenomenon, can sink into the ground, I think if you're talking to any seasoned IU basketball player, they're probably going to tell you that it's not too surprising to them, because if you're a Juwan Morgan, for example, you know, you've been fully confronted with this fan base for a while. You know the passion. You know the investment from IU fans. And even more than that, if you're Juwan Morgan, you probably have a good idea of just what basketball means to the state of Indiana. And so, you know, even if Romeo, and I don't, look, if he was in Kansas instead of IU, he probably wouldn't be able to attend all these events, but you're at least going to know why someone like Romeo Langford would, you know, mean so much to people from his community. If you're, like I said, a Juwan Morgan or a Deron Davis, somebody who's just been around the broader idea of Indiana basketball for a while. It is, like I said, it's maybe a somewhat extreme example of all that. But then, you know, on the flip side, I live here in Bloomington, and I see what it's like when Jordan Hulls comes back into town and he hosts camp and he has a charity golf outing every summer. And, you know, people in this town just kind of go right back to, hey, that's Jordan Hulls, that's Mr. Basketball, that's a state champion, that's a guy that we loved watching for 4 years at IU, and now we're having so much fun kind of following him as he plays in Europe. So I guess in one respect, it probably is a little bit different. It is a little bit unusual, but I'm guessing if you're anybody who's got, including, you know, current players and teammates, if you're anybody who's got a working knowledge of what basketball means to this fan base and more broadly to this state, you probably look at it and say, you know, hey, that's just part of what makes this place a little bit different.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star. Final thing I want you to comment on, Yogi Ferrell. Looks like he's going to get an opportunity for a multi-year contract with Dallas, which is kind of the next step and a big one for Yogi as far as his NBA career goes.
The thing I've always said about Yogi Ferrell, and this goes back to when he was in college, and I said, I don't think people appreciate how athletic he is. And what I meant by that was, and I always use Troy Williams as a comparison, and I'm not dissing Troy Williams at all, who, by the way, has also carved out a nice little NBA career for himself, been with a couple different teams now. I believe he's still with the Knicks. But I think that when we tend to talk about athleticism in basketball players, we tend to confine it basically to things like vertical jump, you know, stuff that produces highlights. You don't necessarily see that in like football, where we talk about a 40-yard dash and a cone drill and a vertical leap and, you know, body control and things like that. But in basketball, we tend to say if someone's athletic, you know, like the connotation there is that they can jump really high, okay, and that they, you know, that they can dunk, that they can block shots, that kind of thing. Yogi Ferrell is one of the most exceptional athletes I've ever covered. He is as well conditioned as probably any basketball player I've ever covered at IU. His short space quickness is incredible. His body control, his court vision, all those, and I know court vision's maybe not really athleticism, but I think it falls under the same sort of umbrella of skills. All those things were genuinely elite by the time he left Indiana. And I know the size is always going to be a concern, but in the modern NBA, more and more, you're seeing point guards that if they can shoot threes and they can be real floor spacers and can also be quick off the dribble, creative, and get rid of the ball quickly to players who've got a good shooting window and a good pocket, there's a space for those guys. You know, it used to, I think you think about like a Nate Robinson in the last few years. I think a lot of people just sort of made it work with him because he was so explosive. But I think that Yogi, I'm not saying Yogi Ferrell is Steph Curry, but I think that he does fit the mold of a point guard that can do some of the Steph Curry-esque things because he sees the court so well, because he shoots the ball very well, because he passes the ball very well. And again, because I think people underrate, yes, he's never going to be 6'3", 6'4", but he can do a lot of the other things that you would consider athletic, as well as basically anybody other than maybe the absolute upper tier of the NBA. I'm not saying he's going to have a 15-year career, but it's not really surprising to me to see Yogi Ferrell getting an extended run in the association, just because I think there was always enough skill and enough athleticism there, and frankly, just enough basketball IQ there for somebody who's played point guard basically his entire life, that it was just going to be impossible for him to be kept out.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, with us every Monday. IU basketball, the topic. We appreciate the insight. Tell Baby Osterman thanks for giving us a couple more minutes, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right. Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, with us here on Mondays. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSAA Executive Board member. We'll talk about some local headlines here in Southern Indiana sports and much more to close things out on this Monday edition of the program right here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back here on this Monday edition of the Hoosier Report, joined on Mondays by Chad Gilbert. He's the Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSAA Executive Board member, and we talk Southern Indiana sports headlines again every week here on this program. Chad, a fun event, although it was absolutely steaming hot on Saturday afternoon, but a fun event to open Romeo Langford Basketball Court. There were three games, some other activities. The park as a whole was opened officially as well. You and I have talked a lot over the last month or so about old school basketball, playing outside, playing outdoors, how you got better as a player in the offseason without all the exposure and big-time organized opportunities. And Romeo Court, with his name on it, with the quality of the court, the quality of the goals, perhaps has the potential to maybe refire some interest in outdoor play here in Southern Indiana.
You know, first off, what a great effort put in to get that thing done. You know, hats off to you for getting that thing going, because that has a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. You just don't show up and get these things done. A lot of work involved in that one, so A-plus on that part. Then everyone for coming out. It was hot Saturday. My gosh, it was hot out there. You know, that was one of those days you're either in a swimming pool or you're in the house. And for people to come out there and celebrate, you know, what Romeo's done, what Romeo's given back, and for people to want to be like Romeo someday, great event. You know, it was great. I saw the Twitter pictures. I saw New Albany edged out Floyd Central. Great to see. You know, some of those guys that were playing there were guys that when I was coaching, we played against those guys. We tangled up with them, so it was, they all looked like they were in game shape, ready to go. Looked like you and BJ coached them up pretty well. Snuck out the two-point victory, and then it was good to see Romeo's dad and Romeo's Mr. Basketball outfit. Looked like he had a little bit of game, so it looked like Romeo got some of his game, honestly. from his dad out there shooting some shots. So it looked like a lot of fun. And I tell you, I saw pictures of Romeo. He looked huge. He looked like he's really developed body-wise, you know, just ripped up in his pictures. He looked really, really good. And, you know, it's like you talked about in the last segment. These things, you know, to be the Grand Marshal, to have a court named after you, all that stuff is on the court. You know, that he's done is second to none. You know, second to one. You know, second to Damon. But the way he handled himself off the court, that's what people are giving him these props for. You know, the way he handled, as well as the way he handled himself on. You know, there was not a better role model than Romeo Langford. He'll continue to do that at Indiana University, and there'll be a lot of whatever number Romeo's going to be next year, jerseys, there'll be a lot of them sold next year. Adidas and the IU bookstore will be very, very happy.
Chad Gilbert joining us. Chad is Charlestown's AD and also an IHSA board member. What would it be like? I mean, you were a big to-do in Charlestown. Basketball was big. Charlestown packed the gym back in your days. You guys had some good teams you played with and at times beat the Jeffersonvilles of the day at that time. What would your thoughts be, or could you imagine, I guess, having a court, even though it's just an outdoor court, could you imagine having something professionally done with your name along both sidelines, with your signature out in the playing area when you were 18 years old?
Oh, you know, that's something that people dream of, to have that. You know, at Jeffersonville, they have it with Mike Flynn and, you know, Tony Winburn. So, you know, there's a thing over there started, you know, the Pat Graham court. So that thing is awesome. But like you said, it goes back to being 18 years old. You know, at Charlestown, I think you would have a great court, you know, with a Abby Conklin or a Kristen Maddox, you know, a Silver Creek with a Steve Green. You know, there's a lot of players around who have, you know, a Chuck Franz in Clarksville that, you know, maybe kids would get involved in that one. And I think things all about history, embracing history, showing off your history, because it's not about patting somebody on the back. It's about that kid who sees that and says, man, I know who Chuck Franz is. I know who Mike Flynn is. You know, that's my neighbor. That's my dad's buddy. If he can do that, maybe one day I can do that. That kid doesn't know about that, but he's on that court working his tail off trying to get better. But, you know, talented players are out there a ton. If you watched any of the NBA Summer League, if you want to talk about some talent, woo, there is some absolute talent out there. So, you know, it's all how you present yourself, how you play your game. You've got to be talented. You've got to be good out there. And then being a good person. You know, if you watch the NBA Summer League games, these guys are trying to make a team. Watch when a guy comes off the court. That whole bench is up giving him high fives. They're running to him at halftime. Watch how people are running out in the court giving each other high fives. They're trying to prove that they're not only good players, but they're good teammates as well. And, you know, the way these people are developing, and there's a lot of good players out there. There's going to be some intangibles that people can't teach, but the things that people teach are going to be required.
I tell you, Chad, I'm glad you brought that up. Obviously, I was involved with the organization that day. So when you're on that side of things, as you well know from being an AD, you don't always get time to stop and watch probably the thing you're most passionate about, and that's seeing the kids perform and play as much as you'd like. But one moment I did get to stop, I actually got my phone out and took a picture or a quick video, was Romeo's first shots, taking some shots, just kind of casually out on the court in between games. His father came out, you mentioned that, and that was probably for me the highlight of the day. Just to see him and a couple friends and his father out there just shooting, just talking. Just there was no competition. There was, you know, nothing fancy going on, just him shooting on his own court, which I thought was a pretty cool scene.
Oh, and that's awesome. You know, I've had some of the best talks with my dad just shooting, you know, growing up. And, you know, and there's a lot said to that. You know, my buddies, you know, we've shot, played horse, you know, played knockout in PE class, you know, just shooting. And talking, you know, and talking about our coach, you know, we talked about life with our players, just shooting around after it, you know, and that's special, especially when the name of the court is named after you. Not just curious, Matt, was Romeo's first shot a go to your left, step back, jumper from three?
His first shot was a miss, and I think I've got it on video. I have to go back and try to dig it out of my phone.
Well, that surprises me.
After that miss, there were a number of makes in a row. I'll promise you that. So.
Sun probably got in his eyes on that first shot.
The wind. Hey, you also brought up another good point, and I meant to mention this earlier. He looks bigger. You know, I had mentioned at the IU team camp, We had a chance to talk briefly. He said he had gained somewhere between, I think, 5 and 10 pounds at that point. I would not be surprised if it's more now that he's been on campus for a decent amount of time, and we've seen Cliff Marshall tweet out what he's got the players doing. We've seen him send out some before and after pictures of some of the returning players, and he even had one of Jake Forrester, who's been on campus about the same amount of time as Romeo, and the progress that he had had with his arms and his back as far as his strength and conditioning goes. I wouldn't be surprised to see something out on Romeo soon. He obviously has made some big strides in his physical fitness as well. Not that he never wasn't in shape, but working on it every day with a professional like Cliff Marshall, eating a strict diet, things that maybe you try to do at home, but it's hard to do. He's got everything he needs, all the tools at his fingertips in Bloomington.
Well, he'll take advantage of that. You're talking about a guy who's probably done thousands of push-ups, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of push-ups. You know, he's got his core straight, and he's got everything down. He's got genetics, which play a huge part in what he's able to do. And like you said, he's got the best facilities and the best trainers in the world. The guy that you talked about with Cliff Marshall posting the pictures, the one guy that he had looked like a boxer. His back looked like a boxer out there. I saw some pictures of Colin Hartman last year that were just unbelievable transformations, and I'm sure Romeo's is nonetheless. You know, the one thing I saw in Romeo, his arms looked ripped. You know, he's always been chiseled, or he's always been ripped, but I would say he's more in the chiseled category now. And I tell you what, his neck looked big. You know, you could start to see that his upper body's really filling out, and that's not going to do anything but help him. You know, his shot's going to be so much better. His explosiveness is going to be so much better, and his body able to take a beating. That he's going to take a beating on, you know, a 35-game schedule, and it's going to be so much better. So, you know, he's working his tail off, and I hope this stuff pays dividends for him, you know, this coming season. There's no doubt it will, because good things happen to good people, and, you know, there's no doubt Romeo Langford is a good person.
Chad Gilbert joining us. Chad is the Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSA board member as well. July basketball is here. The first of three periods has the windows up. Coaches are back now. And it always provides for some interest to see whose stock rises and whose stock maybe doesn't rise. And some interesting things out there after the first period. Archie Miller, the coaches, they were very heavy at the Peach Jam. Of course, a lot of the talk this year isn't just about who's playing well, but will these periods exist next year, or will the NCAA accept some recommendations that have been made to change the way recruiting is done, at least in July and in the summer, and go to a regional camp-type format on campuses of NCAA member institutions. And I tell you what, overriding everything so far at the Peach Jam was the discussion. Most of the coaches off record, although I saw Coach K tell Paul Biancardi is who it was. I had to think about that for a moment. Pretty negative comment. I can't remember word for word what he said, but I think he said something about it being, like, quote, sacrilegious if they would change and keep coaches out of the Peach Jam in the future. So that's kind of been the overriding thing, is not just what's going on this year, but what this process looks like, and it's all tied back to the college basketball scandal.
Oh, no question about it. I did see that quote from Coach K as well. And, you know, for college coaches, it's an opportunity to go out, like we've talked about. So for the big times, you're babysitting. And for the other time, you know, for the mid-majors, you know, not even the mid-majors, the top 20 echelon guys, you know, a lot of those guys, to get scholarship offers, you got to land that first one. Once you get that first D1, you know, every coach always says, hey, who else is recruiting you? And, you know, when we were at Jeff, we had people coming in recruiting our kids. That was always the question. Who else is recruiting him? Who else is on him? You know, if a guy had a Division I offer, sure enough, a couple of days later, that school that I talked to on the phone, they'd offered. If he said, ah, you know, we've talked to these guys, they were a little bit lukewarm. So, you know, it's a time for coaches to go out there, and they do a little bit networking, and they do a little bit of sharing, and they do a little bit of you know, keeping up with each other, you know, see what each other's doing, because you got to keep up with the Joneses in college basketball. And, you know, the one thing that is interesting coming up here, you know, with all these things, I saw that down there in the Peach Jam, they had a video of the crowd, and that place was rocking, man. I'm sure you saw that video, too, and it was like a high school atmosphere. So, you know, a lot of good things happen to those things, and it's like anything else, the bad always gets the publicity, and you don't see much of the good. You know, it's like when the brawl broke out, everybody saw that. You don't see the good where relationships are being made, where kids are parents' relationships are being made. You don't see those parts of the deal. So there's always two sides to every story. But one thing, you know, as these things wind down, look for some reclassification, you know, kind of a Marvin Bagley type deal where guys, you know, reclassify and they go ahead and they jump to college as freshmen. And what reclassification means, you know, is if you're going to be a senior this year, you've gotten your requirements done, you just go ahead and you bump up and you be a freshman at the college level. And, you know, somebody might say, well, why not do your senior year? You know, it's all about getting that second contract. The younger you are, the better chance you got to get a second contract, and you're not out there fighting like those guys are in the NBA Summer League. You know, you've got that situation set up where you're taken care of, and that's what this stuff's about.
Chad Gilbert, IHSA Executive Board Member, and, of course, Charlestown Athletic Director. Chad, it's always great to catch up. Never a shortage of basketball topics to talk about, but I do want to mention before we sign off here, high school football is inching closer and closer. We are approaching 1 month out from the start of Friday Night Lights across Southern Indiana. It doesn't have the long-standing history that our basketball does. It maybe hasn't produced the number of high major players to go on to college like basketball and baseball have done, but it's fun, and it means that a new high school sports year is here, and we'll have to check out all the teams soon, including your Charlestown Pirates, and talk with Hawk.
Oh, it's coming time. Talk with Hawk. Everybody talks with Hawk. Everybody talks with Hawk. It's that time of the year, you know, and they're out there working hard. You know, volleyball starting up, boys and girls soccer, cross country, girls golf. So it's here. You know, it's time to get it on, get the physicals taken care of, get the grade checks taken care of, and see what we can do. But it's exciting for those kids. You know, every kid's going to be a senior once.
Chad
so
Gilbert.
It's an opportunity for them to be their best foot.
Chad Gilbert, thank you very much. We'll do it again next Monday.
Thanks for the run. We'll see you.
And again, we're talking about Jason Hawkins. He's the head coach at Charlestown. Lots of high school football previews coming up here, continuing, I should say, over the next week. And then we've got our big kickoff show at Zaxby's coming up in early August. That's going to wrap things up for today. Don't forget you can podcast the show if you miss any part of it. It's a live show at 11 a.m. on 1450 and 96.1, the Big X Sports Radio. Many days it replays at 3 o'clock, so you could catch it then. It's also available at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. And you can search for the Hoosier Report at Apple Podcast. It is available there as well. Have a great Monday. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock, for the Hoosier Report. Greg Doyle will join us and others right here on the Big X Sports Radio.